I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 6, 2026, and I want to begin with just a quick message for anybody who thinks they're going to move to Alberta or going to move to Saskatchewan once the separatist movement starts gaining momentum, and it looks like they're going to actually be successful in separating. Why don't you just come now? Because now's the time to build the movement. The West needs you now. If you're so like-minded, if you feel like you're a Western conservative stuck in Eastern Canada, now's the time to pick up stakes. Come help us build something better. Don't be a late-stage bandwagon jumper. Get on the wagon now. Moving on, I want to talk about a problem that the Western provinces have always had, and that is that the premiers, even the best premiers, have always been committed federalists. They haven't figured out that Ottawa, opposing to any sort of prosperity for the West and any prosperity that sneaks through the cracks because Western Canada fights doggedly to be prosperous, they tax and take through equalization and distribute to the have-not provinces, so-called, expecting Western Canada to continue to prop up the welfare state in this country. This is a problem with all premiers, including the best ones. Brad Wall says, I don't always agree with Aaron, but here we are. And Aaron Weir is talking about the official portraits and saying that the similarity between Harper and Brad Wall's portraits seem to indicate that the same artist is at play. This builds on the deification or the reminder of Canadians that Stephen Harper was the best prime minister ever, that he was a Western boy, even though he moved out here too, that he was one of us. And we just had a picture pose with him and Scott Moe together. And Stephen Harper's a great guy. Now, he's crawled out of the woodwork to tell us that we need to be united, that we need to keep a federated Canada together, because there's millions of Canadians who are waking up to the fact that we've all been collectively ripped off. And Stephen Harper, of course, not only is he a committed federalist, he's also a committed globalist, and he's always been a committed globalist. And the only reason his government looks so good in the rearview mirror is because the Trudeau government was so bad. But if we're actually honest, and we look back with honesty, we'll realize that Stephen Harper cracked open many of the doors that the Trudeau government marched right through. The transition from the Harper government to the Trudeau Liberals was an orderly baton pass. So to start out, under Stephen Harper, the transition in immigration to the third world, to India, to Asia, to the developing world, got off to its increasing proportions. So we went from bringing people in from the developed world to bringing people in from the undeveloped world. And we did it in record numbers under Stephen Harper, anywhere from 240,000 to 280,000 people per year. And at the time, people like myself were protesting the rapidity of that pace. Little did we know Justin Trudeau would come along and double, triple, quadruple that. And I mean, actually, eight times that in the last couple of years that he was in office, creating all kinds of problems. But even under the Stephen Harper government, one in five Canadians was foreign born. He started that trend. Another thing that we've got to keep in mind, this is from September 12, 2014. Harper sneaks through Canada-China Foreign Investment Protection Act, locks Canada in for 31 years. This gave China full access to our markets. We got very little in return. Similar to what we're getting now, they have full access to our markets. All of these so-called Canadian companies that your radio stations are telling you to buy from are getting all their product from China these days. And meanwhile, we have very limited and little market access in China and no hope of China ever replacing the United States. And we'll have to circle back around to that because it seems Stephen Harper is on the side of those who think we can replace the United States, those who are overreacting to tariffs, those who are overreacting and promising tighter belts, cuts to social services, cuts to your standard of living, permanent, irreversible changes to Canada that will lead to your personal suffering for no good reason. We are the most heavily propagandized people on the planet, and Western Canada has woke up, arguably has been awake this entire time. The Foreign Investment Protection Act kicked open the door for China. And since then, since that, I would call it treachery, I mean the news of the passage was released in the late afternoon on a Friday, and you always know you're getting screwed by the government when they make a press release, quiet press releases on a Friday. The worst things are done in such a way as to diminish public impact. The Trudeau government only expanded on this treachery by training Chinese troops on our soil, by allowing police stations to open up all across this country, servicing the communist Chinese, by allowing people to be kidnapped off our streets, by allowing them to infiltrate our politics and to have total control through foreign interference. And then when it goes public, they cover the whole thing up for 100 years. And the sleeping, docile Canadian public just doesn't even pay attention. They just shrug their shoulders and we're the best country on earth. Repeating the slogans. We love our healthcare, even though people are left to die on waiting lists. And we're now offing 29, 30 people every single day through MAID instead of giving them the healthcare that they pay an enormous amount of money compared to other nations with universal healthcare. We pay a lot and we get very little in return. The whole High River debacle, where the RCMP went in and stole a bunch of people who were high and dry. The excuse was there was flooding. And so they had to get everybody out. They had to evacuate everybody, even those who were high and dry. And then the RCMP went in and they knew exactly what houses to go to steal people's firearms. Because the gun registry that was supposed to be deleted clearly wasn't deleted. The RCMP held on to it. And you know, the only thing the federal government has been interested in this entire time is robbing legal, lawful gun owners of their property and their firearms. They're not interested in disrupting gang crime. We'll talk about that in a minute. But time and time again, I don't understand why, except when you look at it as a measure of degrees, why there is this conservative longing to return to the Harper years. They weren't that good. They just looked good because the subsequent years of Liberal government were that much worse. But substantively, he started the trends that the Trudeau Liberals continued and then handed the whole ball to Mark Carney so that he can manage our decline on behalf of his stock portfolio. Jeffrey Rath says, Harper just said, Canadians should endure any and all sacrifices necessary to keep this country united. They are telling you, you're about to suffer for no good reason. As a matter of fact, the Bank of Canada says restructuring of economy will take years. Why are we restructuring our economy? We don't have to do this. We just have to go talk to the United States, and we might have to give up some of our precious cartels in this country. And that's what it's really all about. Canada's a cartel country. Not just illegal cartels and triads linked to Mexican drugs and all the other problems that we've highlighted on this channel, human trafficking, you name it, we do it. It's also legally constituted cartels, which we will sacrifice everybody else to protect. I don't know why. Canada is one of the most backwards communistic countries on the face of the planet. And the more you understand that, the harder it is to stop seeing it. You can't stop seeing it once you figure it out. This is Tiff Macklem basically saying we're all going to suffer for this restructuring that we don't have to go through. And this is Stephen Harper saying we're going to go through it anyway. Because I've posited on this channel that perhaps there is coordination with the United States. It's a dwindling, I would say, hope in my mind. Because the alternative is every single one of us is going to suffer. The entire nation is going to be made to suffer to try and throw a wrench into the gears of the reworking of the United States, this attempt to reorganize the world, which I think is a failing effort. I think the coming world is going to be dominated by the United States, China, and Russia, because everybody else is broke and poor and dedicated to ideologies that are self-deleting to the max. Finishing off with Jeff Rath, what the hell does that mean? I think it means that our communist masters, including Harper, hate us and think they could punish us like children if we misbehave. They are, I would say, they're fearful of losing control. They are fearful of the mass of Canadians actually waking up to how broke they are. Remember not long ago when I believe it was the RCMP, it was the government at the very least, they came out and said that Canadians might revolt when they realize how broke they are. So instead of trying to gaslight you and say that you're actually richer than you are, which was the initial strategy. Now they're trying to get in front of that with Mark Carney and Stephen Harper and Doug Ford, everybody messaging that you're going to be broker and it's necessary. You have to make sacrifices. And I don't think Canadians are hearing this. Those of you on fixed incomes out there, this means the purchasing power of your pensions are going to get nuked if your pensions aren't rated directly. The CPP is not protected in the Constitution, folks. It can be rated by an act of Parliament. The only thing, because people, I've had this often thrown at my face, that you need the exact same requirements to alter the legislation governing the CPP as you do to alter the Constitution. And it's just not true. The current legislation that governs the Canada Pension Plan truly says that it must follow, any changes to the CPP must follow the constitutional framework, but it's only an act of legislation that mandates that. You can simply revoke that legislation and create a new act of legislation, and that will change what you can do with the CPP. And currently, even under the current legislation, the government can direct the CPP to spend 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50% in the way that it demands. Now, we're in this weird period right now where we have a minority government. Power is not entirely devolved into the cabinet and Mark Carney and the governor general in the king's hands. But they're going to try and get it. And they're going to try and get it by waving the Trump boogeyman in front of you. And Stephen Harper is coming out to do his part. Everything that they're doing seems to undermine the opposition. And that's when the opposition under Pierre Poilievre isn't undermining itself by being milquetoast, wishy-washy, weak, celebrating the Westminster system that screws everybody, spitting in the face of the Western conservative base, which saved Pierre Poilievre's seat in the House when he lost it in Ottawa. He comes out here, he takes one of the strongest ridings, the money, the treasure, the time, the MPs come from Western Canada, but the Federalists will tell you that you should not separate. Some of them will tell you that it is an act of treachery and treason, even though we exist with a sovereignist movement in Quebec. The hypocrisy is off the charts. I had an exchange with a guy on Twitter yesterday where he basically said that Alberta, it's not fair that Alberta leaves because millions of Canadians will suffer. Millions who don't agree with liberal policies will suffer if Alberta leaves. So it's not fair. Alberta has to stay to carry the weight, to carry the welfare of these people and the rest of the country. And I think that's just unfair. I think it's terrible reasoning. And I think it's a good indicator of the sense of entitlement that many people in this country have when it comes to Alberta having to carry the lion's share of the load. The other thing that he said, when I brought up to him, I'm like, are you this upset at Quebec sovereignists and Quebec separatists? And he said, well, if Quebec left, the country would be automatically better, so they can leave. But Alberta can't. The entitlement, it's off the charts. And meanwhile, this Jeffrey Rath and the independence movement is more representative of a very large portion of Western Canada. You know, and I haven't even gotten into the separatist movement in Saskatchewan yet. It's not a new idea. And it's also bipartisan. The base of a sovereignist movement in the West has often been under an NDP, or it's before the NDP was the NDP, the former political entities. It's often been vocalized under those banners. Because imagine, as I set out in the last video I did, imagine the social programs and the benefits that could be realized if all of the money that's getting extracted from Western Canada were to stay right here. If we could just shed the largesse of Ottawa, the treachery of that government, and shed the weight of the propagandized masses of this nation who think the decline and fall of Canada is somehow its salvation. Think what we could do with that level of liberation. And I wanted to dismiss with this. I don't even care what the headline is. This is about the Canada Revenue Agency is owed $10 billion in COVID-related benefits sent to ineligible recipients. This, once again, is the ongoing dilemma of the CRA trying to clean up the mess of the Trudeau Liberals who did helicopter money during the COVID era, and now they're trying to claw it back out of people. But the thing I want to focus on is, you see this picture? This is what the CBC wants you to think represents Western Canada. They found this one guy in Edmonton, a so-called country music artist. He's got his little tranny flag. He's got justice. He's got all the virtue signaling stuff. This is what the CBC wants to think represents Western Canada. Not Jeffrey Rath, not the independence movement, but this guy who wouldn't be far out of place somewhere in Toronto or Ottawa. It's crazy. Just to finish up, I actually pulled this up, so I'm going to cover it. Canada's foreign-born population soars to 6.8 million. Aboriginal population rose 20%, according to SatsCan 2011 National Household Survey. This is an article from 2013. You know, the Liberals weren't in office while this was going on. All I'm trying to point out is the Conservative Party under Stephen Harper kicked off a trend which the Liberals continued. It was an orderly baton pass in a relay race. We shouldn't be listening to Stephen Harper. This is from January 10th. I pulled this up that long ago. I spent a lot of yesterday going through hundreds of tabs and eliminating them because I'm not going to get around to everything. Eurasia Group says no country more at risk than Canada in relations with the United States. Canada stands to face the biggest fallout of political turmoil in the United States in 2026. A new report by Eurasia Group warned on Friday. The risk management firm says long-standing relationship between the two countries is history, and ongoing trade uncertainty will have an impact on the Canadian economy. We will be devastated. Now, of course, this is spun as it's all Donald Trump's fault. But that's just not the truth. We've had a government that spent years during the Biden administration insulting everything red and Republican about the United States. We've taken them for granted on defense. We've taken them for granted on trade. We have worked to undermine the United States with our so-called European partners. We have allowed ourselves to be patsies. Our prime ministers get out in front and make some absurdly strong statement that's anti-American. This goes back all the way to 2016. And then as soon as our prime ministers get on their plane and fly back to Canada, the Europeans stab us in the back. Happens over and over again, and yet for some stupid reason, there's a whole part of our political class that looks to Europe and looks to China and doesn't look to our southern neighbor that actually butters our bread. And this is one of those things that proves the adage that gratitude is not an asset. Gratitude is a debt to be disposed of. Within the human condition, within the human mind, most people don't have the discipline to be truly thankful for to those who help them out enormously. Because it's being thankful, being truly grateful is an obligation. It's an obligation on you. And people will dispense with that as quickly as they can. And it works that way between nations. We should be very thankful to the United States. And instead, we scorn them to the point where we will make ourselves suffer and shoot ourselves in the foot to try and prove a point, which will only collapse Canada. And for what? This is an article I've had up for a while, for a long time. Slash and sell, how financial giant Brookfield and its bank, big bank backers profited from deforestation and the abuse of indigenous peoples in Brazil. Canadian asset management firm, which since moved its headquarters to the United States, where in the United States, where all Mark Carney's money is parked, a Canadian asset manager, part run by green finance champion Mark Carney, cleared thousands of football fields worth of tropical forest in Brazil. Our investigation can reveal an estimated 9,000 hectares of deforestation, the legality of which cannot be proven by Brookfield Asset Management, took place on 8 farms owned and managed by Brookfield Soybean Farming Empire. For all their vaunted green nonsense talk and we need to deindustrialize Canada and commit national self-deletion in order to pursue our green policy agendas, it's all nonsense because overseas, they're more than content to destroy whatever they have to destroy in the pursuit of profit. And, you know, it's just, you wonder if facts actually matter. And that's really what it comes down to. Does the Canadian public actually give a good damn about facts? Do they care about what really is? Or are we just lost is the brain rots so thoroughly entrenched that facts don't matter. That the propaganda and the talking points and the elbows up nonsense is completely impervious to reality. The fact is, our politicians now, the winning politicians, Mark Carney enjoys high approval rating. I don't understand it. They're telling you the truth. You're about to suffer. They're not telling you that you're suffering for no reason. They're telling you that Donald Trump is the great demon, the greatest evil the world has ever faced, and it is necessary for you to lose everything, if necessary, in order to fight him. And the reason there's a Western independence movement, a burgeoning and growing Western independence movement, is because Western Canada, at the very least, doesn't want to go along with it. But our premiers are sadly behind when they have to roll out Stephen Harper yet again. And I don't even know if he's doing it for free. He's certainly made money in the past by making these appearances. They got to roll out Stephen Harper to convince us to try and keep the whole thing together because he was such a great prime minister. I should have titled this video The Myth of Stephen Harper. Maybe I will title this video The Myth of Stephen Harper. And I've only scratched the surface on that. The bottom line is the Canadian citizen has been sold out and robbed for decades under both parties. And it's time we did something different.